We open with hymn number 342.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
The Lord be with you.
and with thy Spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, inasmuch as the adversary doth continually afflict us, and as a roaring lion doth walk about seeking to devour us, we beseech thee for the sake of the suffering and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and to strengthen our hearts by thy word, that our enemy may not prevail over us, but that we may evermore abide in thy grace and be preserved unto everlasting life. Through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this day is found in the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, the 6th through 12th verse. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain as food for your enemies, and the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine, for which you have labored. But those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. The epistle lesson for this day is found in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the 1st through the 10th verse. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Here ends the epistle lesson. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. The Holy Gospel is found in the fourth chapter of Matthew, the first through the 11th verse. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "It is also written, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 491.
Servant, now we pray.
grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is John chapter 12, verses 20 through 26. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, he, my Father, will honor." You may be seated. Pastor King, fellow clergy, family and friends in Christ, what a privilege God has given again to you, Brother Bruce. A privilege. What an opportunity this lesson gives for you to reach out to those who have questions about Christianity, or just Christians that need strengthening in their faith. Could there be anything greater on this earth than to be a Christian pastor? In our text this morning, it talks about Greeks. Greeks that came to Philip were most likely proselytes to Judaism and were familiar with Jewish customs and their festivals, for Scripture says they were among those who came up to worship at the feast. Such people were also mentioned in Solomon's dedicatory prayer that is found in 1 Kings chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, turn to that. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting with the 41st verse, it says, "When your people go out to battle..." Oh, I'm sorry. We don't want that one. "Moreover..." That comes later. "Moreover, concerning foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays toward this temple here in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples on the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple, which I have built, is called by your name." That name that is mentioned in Solomon's dedicatory prayer, that name was named again by these Greeks that came to Philip with this statement, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." If this request is to be granted, you would have to see Jesus as all Christendom sees Jesus. They see him. Jesus must be seen in his crucifixion as well as in his resurrection. For without the Good Friday, there would be no Easter Sunday. And secondly, in order to see Jesus in this way, one must repent and deny self. After hearing the Greeks' request, this is how it went down. Philip told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus, and Jesus had this reply. He said, looking quickly at verse 22, we see that Jesus said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." In other words, you are to see Jesus how he wishes to be seen. That is, only by faith in his death as well as in his resurrection. Every person, man or woman, rich or poor, old, young, all ethnicity needs to make that simple statement their own of their pastor that gets behind this pulpit and preach. To preach, they need to say to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So why preach Christ crucified Sunday after Sunday? Simply put, Jesus is glorified along with his Father in heaven. And that message of Christ crucified is in itself the power of salvation. Now, just what kind of a future would the American churches have if we would ever forget what God had done through Jesus Christ for mankind? Could that future already have come to America, where people's attention no longer are with the eternal, but with everyday life and what they can suck out of it? Is America that devoid of any personal responsibility toward God, but only sucks off the teats of her government? An America that is devoid of this, of any sense of the eternal, but just lives day by day for, you only go once around in life, as that old beer commercial said. What about the soul? This is indicative of today's America. This is not indicative of Christ's church and Christ's ministers. I just came across a Reader's Digest a few days back, and it was about 6 months old, I think it was, and in it, a woman was calling an incident that she had in her workplace. She said, a teenager walked into our jewelry store wanting to buy a cross for her boyfriend. I showed her a selection and she said, I want to look at that one and that one. Oh, and the one over there with the little man on it. And she said, I replied, do you mean Jesus? No concept at all. Madonna had no concept, except it was sexy to look at, this naked man on a cross. That's what America's come to. They don't even know the meaning of the crucifixion of Christ Jesus. It is true that you can claim to be a Christian and not seek the glory that lies in Jesus' cross. But that kind of Christian is only interested in the social aspects of the gospel. Another gospel, a socialist state that has only a civil religion in mind, where that's the one that takes care of your needs and not the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the duty of the pastor to show the people that come to worship at this temple Jesus. Show them Jesus, and Jesus as where he wants to be found, in word and sacrament. Now, there be many Judases who would reverence their master with a kiss and yet be willing to betray him just because they place their trust elsewhere. That's all it is. They place their trust elsewhere. As it is recorded by the prophet Jeremiah, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord. You know, it's so problematic because if congregations do grow, you're going to always confront that. I'm confronting it now with a small congregation who trust in welfare instead of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we forget to see Jesus. If we first cannot picture him, how? Suffering and dying on that old rugged cross of Calvary. Sometimes we get used to viewing an empty cross so that we forget that the great work that was done once and for all on sinful man was in his crucifixion. The simple statement, sir, we wish to see Jesus, should be made over and over again and again and answered again and again. Yes, that probably just meant in this text a request for a personal interview of the master in the courts of the Lord's house just prior to that eventful Passover in Jerusalem. But the world was about to see Jesus. They were going to see him dying, suffering outside the city gates of Jerusalem. That's where he was seen. St. Paul told the Galatians to once again see Jesus when he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified?" Well, in referencing 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified," St. John Chrysostom, the early church father and bishop of Constantinople, said this. He said, "Yet he was not crucified in Galatia, but at Jerusalem, his reason for saying among you is to declare the power of faith to see these events at a distance." He says not crucified, but openly set forth crucified, signifying that by the eye of faith they saw more distantly than some who were even present as spectators. For many of the latter received no benefit, but the former, who were not eyewitnesses, yet saw it by faith more clearly. Chrysostom, golden mouth. In a sermon, St. Augustine spoke of the glory of the cross in these terms. He said, "Let us declare that Christ was crucified for our sake, proclaiming it with joy and pride, not with fear and shame." By the way, I'll just interject here. Now, Good Friday services are so glum. But they call it Good Friday for a reason. They don't call it Bad Friday, do they? No, it's called Good Friday because your sins are atoned for. Well, Augustine said, proclaiming it with joy and pride, not with fear and shame. Paul the Apostle saw in this reason for boasting. He could have told us many great and holy things about Christ, how as God he shared with his Father the work of creation, and how as man like us he was master of the world. But Paul, Augustine says, would not glory in any of these wonderful things. Now, your pastors here at Augustana, Pastor Dears, Pastor King, are called to also show forth Jesus. Jesus crucified in his Holy Supper weekly, so that you who partake of his holy blood and body and blood see Jesus by faith, perceptually with your very senses of touching, smelling, as well as tasting that the Lord is good. You're reminded by Holy Writ to see him just as St. Paul did in the words of 1 Corinthians 10:16, which you will hear. Well, actually, not that one, but in 10:16 it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? In other words, the bread which we break, is it not Jesus' body participating in that bread? Jesus participating in that wine? So there is the communion there. You see Jesus. Yet the very reason we are now in the season that we are reminds you that you cannot possibly see Jesus unless you have come to true repentance of sins and through faith denied self. That, friends, is what Jesus himself tells us in John 12 in our text in verses 25 and 26. It's very explicitly detailed in Jesus' own words. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Yeah? If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. If you can perceive Judas as he saw Christ, ask yourselves just what went wrong with Judas, as contrite and as sorrowful as he went out and hanged himself. We believe that in order to see Jesus as he really is, we must first have true repentance, godly repentance. The Roman Catholics, for example, would teach that repentance merits graces, which enables you to trust in Christ. How perverse is that? By the way, I am a walking bulletin board for Lutheranism, am I not? Huh? Yeah. By the way, it was a Roman Catholic supply house that made this, and they don't make them anymore. Maybe they read what was on it. Thank you. Yeah. Judas. So contrite, so sorrowful, so pitiful, that he couldn't trust in the Lord who was saving him. Why did not Saul, Judas, and men like them attain grace, even though they were terribly contrite? Well, if someone should ask this, the answer must be in reference to faith in the gospel. That Judas did not believe nor strengthen himself with the gospel promise of Christ. That's what you do Sunday after Sunday. You strengthen your faith in the gospel promise of Christ. Simply put, if you're still staying away, your strength is going to weaken and weaken and weaken until it exists no more. There's no more faith. Luther's Small Catechism states, what is confession? Confession embraces two parts. One is that we confess our sins, the other that we receive absolution or forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself. And in no wise doubt, but firmly believe that by it our sins are forgiven by God in heaven. And these keys are also given to every Christian. But the pastor, Pastor King, Pastor Dears, you're called to act on behalf of that congregation to offer that forgiveness of sins. Had Judas had seen Jesus in this light, he would not have despaired. He would not have taken his own life, which leads me to the part of seeing Jesus, namely that if you wish to see Jesus, you must deny yourself. Some here today may think that this is beating a dead horse. If you know me from years back, I oppose this holy self-love of the Confessional Lutheran Church. I opposed that, and I was eventually done away with. They can't have people that say that God says that there's a command to love yourself. No, the command is love God and neighbor, and then the indicative, as yourself, you see. Big difference. He who loves his life, Jesus says, will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. That's what he says. The crucifixion of Jesus should be something we continually see before us all the days of our life, and not just during the season of Lent. We are to learn from Christ and all the saints who denied self and gave faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to themselves. Not to themselves. Not to aim to please people. One of my call documents, believe it or not, in the Wisconsin Synod, was it said on it, Pastor Schrader aims to please. I read that. My wife read it. She goes, what? He doesn't even please me. No, I don't aim to please. And these pastors should not aim to please only God. See, please what the Lord says. Dr. Luther was emphatic in his elections on Galatians 5, when he wrote concerning love of self. He said, love, on the other hand, becomes the right kind of love when one forgets oneself and serves only one's neighbor. But since people are so bent on holding to the position that they must love themselves contrary to the clear directives of Christ, Luther goes on to say, but if one must concede absolutely that love of oneself is ranked first here, I at least will ascend to a higher level and say that love of this kind is always wrong so long as it is in itself, oneself. And that it is not good unless it is outside itself in God. That is, that with my affection for myself completely dead, I look for nothing but that God's completely undefiled will be done in me. No. If someone comes to worship here as the Greek proselytes that knows something about Christianity, but knows nothing, absolutely nothing about the crucified Christ, they should expect from this pulpit that Jesus will be shown to them. And they need to think, sir, we wish to see Jesus, instead of coming here and maybe looking for a free meal. For it is in the cross of Christ you receive the power of his resurrection to a newness of life. Now listen, do you have a car that sounds funny this week? Rattling, maybe something? Something's wrong with it. Doesn't run anymore. Where do you go? You go to a mechanic. Do you have a stomach that's telling you right now, feed me? Well, you go to KFC. Huh? Do you have an earthly body and physical illness? And you go to a physician. Do you have a hard time finding employment after your intervening socialist government told you that the free enterprise system doesn't work? Then you get a new government. Do you have troubles of mind, anxious thoughts, and temptations of sin? Well, then go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Do you need salvation and the strengthening of your faith? Then go to a church that preaches Christ crucified. Come, therefore, with confidence and speak like those who went to the temple to worship. Come saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus this morning. Then leave with confidence, knowing that you have been with Jesus. Do not expect anything else from this pulpit or any OLCC pulpit than to give you Jesus. So that when people leave this morning's worship, they can indeed say, we have seen Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Let us pray. O Almighty God, Heavenly Father, who didst appoint us who confess the name of thy Son to preach his death until he comes again, we come unto thy throne of grace, humbly trusting in thy mercy. We thank thee that thou hast given us a high priest, even Jesus Christ, who knows our infirmities, having borne them, who understands our temptations, having endured them, and who was obedient in all things which he suffered. O Lamb of God, who as sacrifice was slain for the sins of the world, becoming the author of eternal salvation to all who trust in thee, give us such faith that we may hear and submit to thy gracious life-giving word. Grant us such trust that we, hearkening to thy voice, may find the true joy of conforming our wills to thy holy will. O Holy Spirit, if we are led into the wilderness of temptation, deliver us by thy power and save us from all evil. Do not allow us in our times of testing to fall from thy grace. Overthrow thy tempter Satan in every assault on our souls. Make us strong in thee, and by the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, show us the victorious power of thy holy word. Let thy blessing rest upon our homes. Give all parents the wisdom to be true followers of him who is the light of the world, so that by their manner of life and conversation, they may be worthy lights unto their children. Bestow thy spirit upon our country, O Lord, that in every office and calling, we may show forth thy praises, thy power, and thy glory. And for as much as thou dost improve us through sufferings, grant that all among us who suffer may learn of thy love and receive thy fatherly chastening. Comfort the sorrowful with thy promises. Show thyself the source of all good to all who are in need. We especially ask thy blessing this day upon the people of Japan, who are in great need of thy help. Give them the comfort that thou art always with them that fear thee. If there is any sin among them, bring them to repentance. And in our own land, let us remember that except that we repent, we shall all likewise perish. We also ask thy blessing upon Linda Dears, that thou wilt continue to be with her in her bodily weakness. If it be thy will, bring her to health. And if not, give her strength to endure her tribulation with trust in thy mercies. And now, O Father, give thine angels charge over all thy people to minister to their salvation and to bring them safely through this world to that eternal kingdom which thou hast prepared for all them that love thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn 493. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 465. Thank you.
Dear brother Bruce King, whereas you have been called as pastor of this congregation and are about to assume charge of the flock of Christ in this place, it is fitting that you should bear in mind the solemn duties of your sacred office, that you may fulfill them in such a manner as behooves a devout and zealous minister of the church. As an ambassador for Christ, you are to preach and teach the pure doctrine of the divine word, to administer the holy sacraments according to the institution and ordinance of Christ, to instruct the young in the way of salvation, to counsel the inquiring, to strengthen the weak, to seek the lost, and reclaim the erring, to comfort the sorrowing, to care for the needy, to visit the sick, to minister to the dying, and ever to have at heart and pray for the spiritual welfare of every soul under your care. You are to give yourself to the meditation and study of the scriptures, to administer your office conformably to the word of God, and to show yourself and your household a pattern to others in piety and godliness, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. St. Paul says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he falls into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them who are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Watch in all things. Endure temptations and afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and to all the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing you shall save both yourself and those who hear you. I ask you, therefore, dear brother, in the presence of God and of this congregation, are you willing and ready to take upon you the charge of this congregation and to perform faithfully all the duties of your ministry? Then answer, I am.
I am.
Will you preach and teach the pure word of God in accordance with the confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and adorn the doctrine of our Savior with a godly and holy life? Then answer, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
I now ask you, members of Augustana Lutheran Church, you have heard the solemn promise given by him whom you have called to be your pastor. I admonish and charge you, therefore, on your part, to receive him in this character and office, and to be ever mindful of what the word of God demands of you as members of this flock. Attend with all diligence the preaching of the word, receiving it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God. Heed his admonition. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Aid him by your influence in instructing the young, remembering the exhortation to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Honor and love him, as St. Paul says, know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Pray for him without ceasing, that in his labors and anxieties he may retain a cheerful spirit, and his ministry among you may be abundantly blessed. Provide also for his temporal needs, for the Lord says the laborer is worthy of his hire. And St. Paul says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Finally, remember the words of the apostle. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I now ask you, are you willing to receive your pastor as a minister of God and to show toward him such love, honor, and fit obedience in the Lord as are due to an overseer and guide placed over you by the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd and bishop of souls? Then answer, we are.
We are. We are.
Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
St. Paul wrote to Timothy, as I now speak to you. So I come and give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership.
Dear brother, our Lord Jesus said, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there he will be also, and my Father him will honor.
Dear brother, on the grounds of your call, I now, in accordance with the usages of the church, install you as pastor of this congregation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, charging you to be diligent and faithful in the performance of your duties, as you shall give account of your stewardship in the day of Christ's appearing. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go there then, dear brother in Christ, and feed the flock of Christ, which is entrusted to you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. The Lord bless you from on high, and make you a blessing unto many, that you may bring forth fruit, and that your fruit may remain unto eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, eternal and only Son of God, who sits at the right hand of the Father and gives gifts unto men, sending forth pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry and the building up of thy spiritual body, the church, we thank and praise thee that thou hast again provided this flock with a faithful shepherd, and we pray thee grant to both pastor and people thy heavenly grace, that they may do what is pleasing in thy sight, holding faith and good conscience, and finally with all the elect obtain everlasting life. Amen. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his peace. welcome to our many guests. We seldom have the opportunity to have so many guests and fill this place with singing, and it's always wonderful to hear. It almost brings tears to my eyes whenever a good quantity of God's people can get together and sing hymns. I hope you're all planning to eat plenty of food after words with us today, and greet Pastor King in the name of the Lord as he begins his ministry among us. And we'll greet you at the back of the church, so-called. We don't often have a chance.
Thank you for the compliment.
Oh yes, pictures. We have to have pictures. Masha,
let me get my briefcase off there. I don't need my
paper. You have a job, Masha. You have a job.
Is
this your
Yes, well, you know.
No, just the church.
That may be, but I still have a job for you.
I think various
with the
maybe even I don't know.
So how do you
just
know?
No.
Just from the ceiling.
First, do you have the readers the readers edition of the Book of Concord?
Yeah.
You already got it, but you don't have the pocket edition.
I don't.
Oh,
yeah.
Probably have to have a stand right here.
Yeah.
More than I do, thankfully. But I'm going to be that much.
way back. I got the
Greek case. Turn the flash. Is that part of your devotions?
Yeah.
Jim?
Well, we normally don't make it part of the devotions. We probably should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just you.
Press
okay. I was going crazy.
Hi.
Okay, that's pretty good. I can work with that. All right. If I had dimples like you, I would smile more often, I think.
Me?
True.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
She did a great day.
It's okay, it'll work. I can bump it up a bit.
Well, I hope you get some because I forgot to bring mine.
That would help a bit, actually. Hey guys, over here, would you please smile?
Oh, wait a minute, hold it.
Are you getting in or not? What's she doing?
Like,
she's taking over. She's
taking
over.
Yeah, I said go in and then you let us know, okay?
Trying to get them
you
to smile.
You can get in if you
want to.
Well,
yeah, somebody says go in and everybody starts flashing.
Oh, that was a good line after you started moving. Yeah.
Okay,
oh, sorry.
Okay.
All right. Well, this is the one that
did you guys get in?
That's your old one? You're impatient, miss.
Sorry.
Actually, it's my newer one, but I like this one better.
Yeah, you gotta move a little closer.
Sorry, just a little bit there.
There you go. Okay. Dad, would you smile over here, please?
Yeah. This is gonna be in the Catholic Digest.
You gotta get him to smile?
Yeah, he's like looking the other way.
Like I do with the kids.
It worked!
We don't have our fancy hats like they do in Eldora.
You have to wait more than a second. I'm not sure the flash can charge. Okay.
It's pretty good.
Looks pretty good. I think you probably got some good ones in there.
Sierra. You're right. There's some dark ones.